Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you for the best tools to get your balls ready for the special occasion. This V-Day, it's time to join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, with our exclusive offer. To get this, go to manscaped.com and use promo code Bubba, that's B-U-B-B-A, for 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts, their shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs, to keep your boys stored comfortably. And to complete the perfect package for your package, our liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. You gotta have both of those. Start your day off with a deodorant for your boys, then stay cool all day with toner to keep them feeling the best all day and night. These formulations will have your balls smelling like a king on your big day. Go to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer and 20% off free shipping with the Bubba code. Your balls and your lady will thank you. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day.
Aussies say it too. You don't have to.
Aussies do say it.
You don't have to look good for anybody or anything. There's no cameras rolling.
Yes, I do for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah. Come on.
I did put on foundation for you.
Wow.
I forgot that it's completely dark in here and no one's going to see anything. But I thought, you know what it was? It was your friend Kelly. And I was like, well, around new people, you want to just
cool
look
as shit.
A little bit put together.
She's like an au naturel kind of girl. And
yeah.
She doesn't even need, like, she's like part Cherokee. She's got beautiful skin.
Right.
The high, kind of like you, the Israeli, the dark, you know.
The Mediterranean vibe.
It. Yes. And she's just a wash and wear. She
was a super cool chick. I like when
she was a little overwhelmed, I'm not gonna lie.
No, but what I like about people, like, I find this like an interesting affectation, is when you tell them outrageous things and they don't really react.
Yeah.
It's like a form of like a comedy almost.
Of course.
Like you say something insane and they go, oh.
Yeah, like a Larry David skit.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like she was like, oh my God. She was just like, well okay, that's insane, but whatever,
yes,
you know.
I love hanging with her because she's the sure person. So if you say, hey, do you want to do this? Sure. Do you want to go here? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get this for dinner? Sure. She's totally open-minded.
She's just down-ass
chick.
Go with
the flow, down-ass chick. And I was hoping
that she was going to be here
because we have some pretty good stories.
By the way, this is Flapping Gaps with Anna and Tara. We forgot to mention that at the beginning. But I like kind of like a easy flow. It's like,
I know you don't like the formal introduction.
No,
so
I
that's
don't.
Exactly.
Like,
why
I always like the
anything.
Rap songs when they just like at the beginning they're just laughing.
Like,
you know, they're
what?
Like, and you're just like, oh shit, song's about to start. You know,
give
they're
me
not
an example. What's a favorite rap song of yours? Now that we're talking,
I don't know. I feel like there's been a few like Lil Wayne songs where they kind of open up and someone is like laughing. You're cackling or something.
I love Lil Wayne.
I love
Weezy.
Song,
Uproar.
Mm.
That's a badass.
That's a good one.
I work out to that
That's
one.
A gym favorite for me as well.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But I do want to talk about BARP, but not necessarily so much about, you know, what happened and who you saw. But I feel like for me, and maybe it's like this for you, it's kind of almost shocking when you see just like the fanfare that arrives and how Bubba has been a part of these people's lives for decades, some of them.
It have you talked about it at all? Have you gone into the BARP?
Not the inner workings of it. It was more of just like the highlights of who was fucked up and who had the biggest jugs. You know, Bubba, he was giving everybody the superlatives.
Who had the biggest jugs?
Maybe the merch crick, if we're proportion-wise.
Nice.
I'm not quite sure. But people were, we got at different awards, the hottest MILF. You know how, you know, Bubba, standard stuff.
Oh, I want to know about, okay.
Melissa Hazlett.
Listen a little more.
Listen, it's probably best that you do. Sometimes it's good to just take a step away for a second.
It gives me anxiety sometimes. But I'm very proud, and I do feel sometimes when I haven't watched the show that I'm kind of out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
because it's been such a big part of my life.
Right.
But the last couple of weeks have been a little hectic for me. But the BARP party for me is, I would say it's kind of a multifaceted feeling for me.
Okay.
Like I am overwhelmed with gratitude that these people are so loyal to my brother and truly care about different aspects of his life and come up to me and my mom. And, you know, they're not just, you know, listeners. They really care.
Like an extended family.
And,
yeah.
And there's so many that, you know, I hate to even start naming some because I feel like I
leave
people
out.
Yeah. And then I also, because some of them are like family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel bad also because there's so many cool people and they're so friendly and nice. And hey, Tara, they all know who I am, but I don't know who they are.
Sure.
And I feel like I don't get a chance to spend enough time with, you know, the ones I want or just even the new people that I've never formally
met.
You know, so many great people are like, hey, I want to chat with you. And that part kind of stresses me out because there's so many cool people that I feel like I never really get a chance to talk to so many. So that part is so, I'm so grateful for what they've done for my brother because they are a big reason in his career turning around. You know, I've seen him at the lowest of the lows. Mm-hmm. I mean, things that he's even said, you know, he's thought about killing himself.
Yeah.
And then to see, you know, these people that have always believed in him and to know everything that he's gone through is really overwhelming for me and sometimes emotional.
Yeah.
If I think about, you know, they all have lives and families and they, you know, the fact that they're so loyal and contribute monetarily and then come here, like it's just sometimes it's emotional for me because I'm so grateful for them.
Yeah. For many of them, it's like the highlight of their year.
And
you know,
such, yes, it's like the
like the
granny, the Grammys.
Yes, it
the
is.
The Grammys for a super listener or like the MTV Music Awards or an event. And I'm just overwhelmed that, and they're so interesting and the diverse
loyal
backgrounds. And I think about what Kevin Hazlett said on stage, which I thought was so powerful is, look at the diversity in this room and what's the common denominator, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but we're all here. And even Kelly and Joe, who came with us, Joe Kralis, who Bubba talks about, we went to school with, like it, that I almost started to cry because I was so grateful, like that I get to meet all walks of life. And so that part of me, I have a very full heart when I leave. The other part of me is just very overwhelmed.
Right.
Like, because
do you feel like you're going to disappoint?
Because all the time
I do too. Because obviously when people hear you on the air and you're certain which way, and it's like, I know I'm broadcasting in front of a listening audience, but when I can't see, it's just me and my homies hanging out.
Right.
So when you meet people, it is that sometimes, at least for me, it can be a little bit awkward because they are expecting on
air
on
about you.
Right.
One, first and foremost, they know who you are. They know your story and you don't know them because they listen every day. So they probably feel like they're a part of your extended family. And then secondly, just like you said, you're not really always on the air. So there is a little bit of a different persona. And, you know, I bust Bubba's balls and try to be funny on the air. And I know you do too. And so you're like, okay, that is who I am, but that's not who I am.
Right.
So do you think that I'm just like, oh, some vanilla, you know, boring person, or am I supposed to, you know, cut, you know, make fun of Bubba, or, you know, is Tark supposed to act like,
or,
you know, like being character of his character, you know?
Yeah.
I always feel like these people are probably like, God, like she seems, you know, she seems nice, but, you know, kind of a dud.
Right.
Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, at this point, I just kind of embrace it. And I'll often talk about how I'm awkward or that I don't really get social anxiety, but I'm not good at small talking.
Right.
And I'm getting worse.
I'm good at small talk.
I cannot small talk.
I enjoy it because I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear where they're from and what they do. And I love that. Think about what I do for a living. I'm in staffing. I interview people.
Yeah.
Right. So I love that part, but I feel bad because I only get to scratch the surface and there's so many. So it's almost like you can't talk to anybody, or you want to talk to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely get a little bit awkward, but I've leaned into my awkwardness over the last almost 2 years. Yeah.
And you're very open.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, especially with alcohol, it certainly helps to kind of open you up a little bit and soften you up. I wasn't planning on drinking until BARP, but I did have a few drinks at Bubba 199, which was fun. That I think was my favorite night. Yes. And I think it's just because, and I told Bubba this.
I should have gone.
It was fun, but music really makes a big difference because there was no music
without
at BARP.
A doubt. Yeah.
Not that I need like a live DJ.
No,
I don't need like Afrojack. Yeah, I don't need a DJ.
You don't need Deadmau5 or Marshmallow.
Right, exactly. But just something to kind of like.
I agree. I would like.
Silence is, it makes things awkward and bad.
I agree.
You know?
Especially, well, silence in a social setting.
Yes.
Right. Silence at my house is cool.
Right, yes.
But yeah, you need sort of something to set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big music person. So like if I have a dinner party, I always have music going in the background.
Mm-hmm.
We don't watch a lot of TV, so most of the times at our house we have music going
just kind of
as
like a white noise almost.
Yes.
To just break it
up. And I listen to ocean waves at night,
right?
So I always kind of need that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like I said, I'm really bad at small talking, and I feel like working here has made me even worse at it. It's kind of how I
would think it would make you better.
You would think so, but here's the thing though. It's kind of like when all you do is, say you're like a really kinky person and you watch a shit ton of porn, and then you go to have sex with like a normal person and you're like, this is fucking boring. You know, that's kind of how it is, because I feel like my
interesting
caliber for,
analogy from you,
right?
I must
but like
say.
The caliber of entertaining conversation that we have is so high, and we're talking about current events. We're talking
right.
about just shooting the shit with
and,
our lives.
And life. And
Bubba's making
funny.
Things like so funny, just the most mundane things so funny that to be
so,
like, yeah,
so
the weather,
talented and
it's
funny as hell,
right? Like it's cold in the Northeast, right? Like that is so boring and mundane to me that I have no interest in doing it.
Right.
So I'm bad at it. So my thing is I move quick, like.
You're
I say, hi, what's
better.
Up, what's up, what's up?
Yeah, but you're probably better than what you think.
Maybe.
Just
possibly.
Because you've grown, like you said, you lean into your awkwardness.
Yes, yes, that's definitely helped. And I think that people appreciate that, because my favorite compliment that I get, oddly enough, is being
relatable.
I love that.
That
I love
is a
that
great
so
compliment.
Much, because it's just like I connect with people who I'm like, they seem like really cool, down to earth. Like they get it. They're not trying to be fake,
well,
or they're really good at
like when you're running in leadership. Like I've taken a lot of leadership classes and like an executive leadership coach, and you know I'm big into self development. I love all that. And one of the most important things in leadership is to be relatable and show your vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
so everyone knows that you're real.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great compliment when people say that to you.
Yeah,
and,
it's my favorite
and to
one.
To me, it also just solidifies how well you fit into the show. Because
I know,
adding
and I never
a female,
thought that I would. Yeah.
Adding a female was, I mean, Bubba did it with me. And of course, in my mind, I want to think it was great and the fans loved me. But, you know, he fired me.
Well, Tom Bean fired you.
Right. That's true. It takes a special female. Of course, I'm joking. Obviously, I wouldn't be in the financial position that I am today if I didn't. So I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was, and I felt like I kind of fit in because I knew it so well. And I was one of the guys. Not everyone, I mean, you know, he's had a couple since and they've been good, but they're not necessarily relatable.
Uh-huh.
And that's to me like an indoctrine into the family. Now
right.
it's official.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the best compliment.
It is, and I feel very secure here, which is very nice. That doesn't mean that I'm
good. That makes
worried
me
I won't fuck up, but I feel really secure. Bubba said a lot of great things. There used to be talk about, you know, this chick Gabby. I don't hear Gabby's name
And I will tell you,
yeah,
my brother, and I hope he's happy about me telling you this. He absolutely thinks the world of you. He adores
sweet.
You. He's protective of you.
He is.
Anytime, you know, we have dinner or hang out with the family, he always sings your praises. Like, he really cares about you like you're a little sister. And
I
love
that. Yeah. No, me too.
And he wants you. He loves to see you thrive.
Uh-huh.
And he worries about you.
Yeah.
And
that's
I love that. And I think that's so. Yeah. I love that he's always like, I mean, he's you know, when he's in, when he cares about somebody, he's all
in. He's locked in.
And he's very protective mm-hmm. of you, and he definitely wants the best for you.
Absolutely.
And he thinks you're great.
Awesome. Because it definitely was a, you know, adjustment period for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the kind of like archetype of person besides yourself that worked here, was on the air here. And that wasn't me, and that kind of worried me and the expectation. But like I said, I can't pretend to be anything I'm not, and that's not even me being like, I'm real to the game. It's like, I can't even play off like I'm...
Right, you're not an actress.
Right, like I'm the hot chick, or even like being into sports. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be like I'm one of the guys.
Right.
If I don't like sports, I'm not going to just like learn all the... It's funnier
like
that
said,
I don't know
you
the sports.
You lean into it.
Right, yeah. So it's definitely been an adjustment period, but I feel like the last year... has been really good. I don't know if that corresponds with another event that happened, but, you know, basically since around last BARP, it's felt really strong.
And that comes through on mm-hmm. when you're on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, your comfortability, I think your experience and the way everyone has embraced you, your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Everything is like...
It's
just grown.
Yes, yeah. And I'm excited for Bubba. I'm excited for some projects in the works. So I feel
okay.
I think you know about them.
Maybe.
Yeah, you probably do.
Maybe, probably.
We'll talk about it afterwards, but I'm pretty sure
I'm just so happy for him because, mm-hmm. you know, again, to not to beat a dead horse, but to see where, you know, everything he's gone through
mm-hmm.
and to see where he is now, like, I'm so happy for
mm-hmm.
him. And he's so damn funny
mm-hmm.
and talented, and of course I'm biased, but there's
it's an objective
not a
truth
lot,
at
there's
this
not
point.
A lot of people that can interview people the way he does, and like you said, make the weather funny.
Yeah.
And so to see him thrive,
he's like crack, man. You can't.
And especially after 30 some years, you know, not a lot of people plateau, but I feel like he's like Madonna. He's reinventing himself.
He's evolved with the times, which a lot of people haven't been able to do. That's Bubba's strength. Yeah.
And I think part of that is also, you know, I love that he is about having a woman on the air.
Like, yeah,
and wants
me too,
because
then I wouldn't be here. So yeah, definitely. But you can even see his evolution through the remnants of what once was. Like,
yes.
The stripper pole is half
gone.
Hanging, so, you know, not usable. The shower that he used to have, like, hookers take, you know, baths
yeah.
in, is now a storage room. So it's like, we're moving, we're
He's
evolving.
Growing up.
Yes, yes.
How
so
sweet.
It's awesome. We were supposed to have your friend Kelly on, and you wanted to
Kelly
tell me.
Kelly was at BARP.
She was at BARP, yeah.
And she is Kelly is, like you, self-admitted, very social. Well, she's socially awkward. She doesn't like large crowds. She has a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very open about it.
Right. Did she drink?
She didn't.
She didn't. Okay.
She's kind of doing the whole sober January.
Dry January thing.
Yeah, or whatever. And she, you know, she liked wine. And she's like, man, I feel so good when I don't drink.
Mm.
Like, I it's kind of like, what? Yeah, I don't want to go back to feeling bloated and feeling like crap the
okay.
next day.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like going down, which she loves me because I'm not a drinker.
Uh-huh.
So I'm, you know, it's been fun. But she was like, after BARP, we all rode together and we got in the car, and this is so funny. It was like, again, music was going, but like nobody really said anything.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was like so sensory overload, especially her.
Yeah.
Like, and I said, so what did you guys think? And Joe's like, it was, wow. Like
intense.
It was intense. That was a lot. And Kelly's like, yep, that was intense. And I said, well, is that intense good? Or intense bad? And they're like, oh, good. Like, they were speechless and overwhelmed at all of his fans and how much they care about him.
Mm-hmm.
And to see then Bubba go on stage and, you
people
know,
are
bring
yelling.
His, yes, and to bring up his
yeah.
fans. And they're like, for him to be able to do that for people and, you know, bring everybody together, like Brandon the Quad, somebody mm-hmm. who, you know, unfortunately doesn't get to live a life and have a social life. To be able to make somebody like that feel a part of something.
And get laid for the first time
and
ever.
Get laid, yeah, which was so... Kelly's like, my mom asked me how the party was, and I told her it was really interesting and that I got to... there was a quadriplegic man who drove from Iowa. His mother drove him.
Right.
He's a diehard fan. And he lost his virginity thanks to Bubba.
Right.
I go, wait, that's how you described my brother's party to your mom, who's like 72? She goes, yeah. I go, does your mom hate me? She goes, no, her mom said, wow, okay.
Probably
that sounds
like
a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, it was funny to get their perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have never seen any, and you can't describe it.
I was just about to say, when people are like, oh, so like, how's work? Like, what do you do? Or I'll be like, yeah, work was rough today. And they're like, what happened? And you're like, ugh.
How do you describe that?
So there's this thing called the Screenshot Express, right? And there's a guy named Big Red, and then he got mad because the screenshot was and you have to explain like all the things.
Do people think you're crazy when you try to, when they ask you how your day was?
My roommate gets it because she's been a part of the show peripherally.
She's awesome, by the
way. She's really cool.
Oh,
for like,
man,
she gets
I loved
it.
Her.
Yes, thank God she gets it. But it's just funny to hear. She's like, yeah, I had this meeting and this new meeting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like we had the Presto Pizza Maker caper, and you know, this Iggy McGillicuddy was taking steroids. You know,
and then
just
Brandon
crazy.
The Quad were lining up a piece of ass for him.
And I saw the video on OnlyFans, and
what?
I saw, you know.
Wait, there's a video?
Yes.
Whoa.
That's a great segue.
Are you serious?
Yes. You should subscribe to our OnlyFans if you haven't already. The
you
people
know, I'm
going to
take a hard pass on that.
I've seen every clip, and I've seen video in full.
Back that ass up.
Yep.
This was recorded for real.
Yes.
Wow.
I saw it with my own two eyes.
You saw it?
Yes. Multiple times. Yes, I did.
Okay. And?
It's interesting to see a porno and your response is like, oh, like, that's sweet.
Bless her.
Yeah.
Bless
her
heart. Well, I mean, she's a damn healthcare hero.
Dude, I am telling you.
I mean, she got the biggest, as she should that night.
Yes.
I mean, to be able to do that. Yeah. At first, it's like, absorbing it, I'm like, oh my, okay,
yes,
bless her heart.
And if you watched the video, or if you do watch the video, I think the sweetest part is how like patient and cool and chill, and he's, you know, expressing a lot of his anxieties and concerns, and she's like, don't worry about that, and he's like, I'm afraid to touch, she's like, touch whatever you want, and she's just like giving him compliments like, oh, you're this tastes so good,
wow,
and this is so great, and this feels really good for me. You know, it's not just she
right.
wants to make him feel like
right.
you know, he's doing a good job
right.
and everything's going well. And
which I mean, it couldn't have been a better person. She
could not.
I mean, she nailed
no
it,
one.
Right?
She,
to be able to
she, no
make
pun
him
intended.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah,
yeah.
She
make
nailed
him feel
it.
Comfortable and to engage with him and tell him he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
And wow.
And make it was all about him. She was just like, I just want you to have a good time. Like at one point he's voicing a lot of concerns and she's just like, who cares?
I can't even believe
Don't
we're
worry
talking
about, that.
About this.
Yeah.
It's so surreal.
Right, right.
Like it's so surreal, but I'm so grateful for her.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, talk about a weird thing to be grateful for.
I know, absolutely. And those are the kind of stories when people are like, oh, what happened at work today? I'm like, oh, funny you ask.
Oh my
like,
God. Do you ever talk to your parents? Like, do your parents
Yeah,
know
my
this?
Dad, my parents listen. My mom, yes, both my parents listen. My dad gets it. But I think whenever I mention him, sometimes he has some comments.
Sure.
You know, and my mother even said when I went to go visit her, she's like, you know, you tell these stories. And she's like, that's not entirely. Entirely true, and I'm like, Mom, you gotta dress it up a little bit. Come on,
yeah,
gotta embellish.
Yeah,
but Mom is
the Hollywood factor.
Yeah, Mom is slowly starting to get it, but she called me brave when I was at home. She was like, I could never do what you do. Which was interesting.
That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, but I mean, she reads
chat. Did you take it as a compliment?
I did, but she reads chat, and I think that freaks her out. She's like, how do you not like cut yourself every night? But
yeah,
I tell her,
I
I'm like,
that.
Listen, that's why I don't read it during the show, number one. And number two, I tell her every time, my worst fear is being bored.
Right.
And I'm never bored here. I wake up.
That's
after,
one hell of a perspective.
After the initial, like, I do not want to fucking be up at 4:45 in the morning. After that passes, I'm like so excited to be here.
That is
what's going to
so
happen
cool.
today? What kind of bullshit am I going to get myself into? And how
Man.
Am I going to work myself out of it? There's a lot of like comparisons between this and like jujitsu. You know, like you get yourself in a pickle.
Sure.
How do you defend and worm your way out of it?
Which, how's that going?
It's good. I injured my shoulder. I'm not quite sure how, because, you know, sometimes it's just a blur of everything that's happening when you're just wrestling.
You're rolling on the mat.
It's so fucking cool.
Do you love it? How often do you go?
Just twice a week.
And that's a lot.
Yeah. And it's tough because it's a late night class. I get out at like 9.
Do you have it tonight?
No. Monday and Wednesdays.
What time?
7:30 to 9. So I don't get home till like 9:30. And then it's like I have to wash my hair, which is a big ordeal because I might have ringworm in my hair.
You must really like it to do all of that.
I do. And the thing is like I know that, and I'm uncomfortable for a lot of the class.
Sure.
Like I'm uncomfortable.
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable, especially at the end of class when we have to like roll, like actually do the real thing, like do jujitsu. I get nervous every time. And it would be so easy for me to just walk out at that point. But I'm like, listen, bitch, this is where the growth happens.
Nobody ever grows when they're comfortable.
In
so
the comfort
the fact
zone.
That you're pushing yourself.
I lean into the fear. This is
so
good
cool.
for you. This is
you're
what you're
badass.
Oh, thank you.
You know that, right? Yeah.
Well, yes and no. But then I'm a paper tiger. But
shut up. Are you still doing? I mean, are you letting your shoulder heal or
it just happened last night.
Okay,
so
are you gonna take a couple days off?
Yeah, because I don't have another class till Monday, so I'm
you're
good.
Watch it, boo.
Yeah, I'll be
don't
fine.
Be jacking yourself
I'll
up.
I'll be fine but no,
so any potential
love interest,
hotties in the class?
You know what, a lot of the guys are very young. Very.
So, and
I mean, like 19,
what's
like a little
problem?
Bit like I don't think I could really go for like a 19 year old.
Seriously, 19 though?
A lot
young?
Of them are young. The white belt, the male young white belts are among the scariest people you come into contact with because they are just using brute strength.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any technique. They don't, you know, because you have like sometimes 30 people rolling on the mat at once, and so you'll see these young guys just going crazy, just toppling over other pairs of people. They're clueless. They're dangerous, you know, so I stay the fuck away from those guys. But no, there's no potential there, like, but that's okay. That's
some 30 or 40 something.
No, not really, but that's almost better because
I'm focused.
Right. I'm thinking about how to get out of the arm bar instead of like, how am I going to talk to this guy over here? You know?
Right. Right.
So, but it's great. I'm so glad I'm doing it. It's funny. Like I've turned I'm trying to, anytime I experience any sort of like fear or I'm like worried, I take that as an indication instead of being overwhelmed. But
that's
I'm like,
a good thing.
Oh, this is an indication that I actually need to do this more.
That's right.
And that sucks.
I'm
but
impressed.
You just lean into it and you just go, I have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, which is how I live my life.
Do you know how proud I am right now? That's
thanks.
Huge.
I know. I've been doing a lot of the self-development stuff.
Oh, yay.
I'm reading this book called How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself. I think that's what it's called.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like how to be less like you.
I like it though,
because a lot of us have a lot of bad habits from, you know, childhood.
Without a doubt.
Society, school, experiences when you're young that you just kind of wrapped up and you've told yourself, well, this is just how it is. And this guy's trying to tell you, nope.
Listen, I believe in therapy and I am always, every day I listen to a self-help podcast or
reading a book. What's your like go-tos?
Oh, Simon Sinek.
I have his book in my car. What is it? Why?
The Why, Leaders Eat Last, Infinite Game.
Yep.
I think Brené Brown is great.
My roommate just finished her book. She talks a lot about like emotion.
Shame and vulnerability.
Yeah.
John Maxwell, old school, more business.
Okay.
I also love Tim Ferriss.
Okay.
He's great.
I know Tim Ferriss.
Have you read Tools of Titan?
No, but is that his book?
He like interviews like the most random but very unique and successful people to find out their
path
story and how. Yeah, it's phenomenal. Tim Ferriss, I love. Dave Asprey, I love him, as you know that.
Yeah.
So I'm always seeking. There's a new, I just got a new audiobook.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
No, I'll have to look it up. I'll show it to you. It's called Give and Take by Adam Grant. Why helping others drives our success. So just every day I do.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I meditate and then I usually start my day with something like that.
Okay. That's
and then
great.
I end my day before I go to bed with something about gratitude.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to have a few moments of gratitude in bed when I first wake up, because there's like a little bit of time where it's like the first alarm goes and I'm like, all right, I'm awake. And then it's like, all right, let's think about it. I'm like, I'm so grateful for this bed.
Yes.
I'm so grateful I'm not homeless. I'm so grateful I can walk.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's one of
those
things.
You're speaking my love language.
Yeah.
You know this.
Here's the thing is like, I'm like a dopamine addict.
Doesn't it change?
Yes.
Yeah, so isn't it a game changer when you start your day like that?
It is. And so I'm just trying to really, almost like a sponge, just wring out as much like joy and happiness out of my life as I can. You know, because I'm just trying to get fixes.
Make me cry,
no, don't.
This is, you know.
No, but I do weird things though.
This.
Like I'll not starve myself, but I'll purposely like. Obviously, I'm doing the intermittent fasting, but even if I'm like really hungry, like I'll try to wait an extra hour so that when I do eat, it's even that more joyful. Or if I have to pee really, really bad, sometimes I'll hold it for like an extra 30 minutes,
well,
and that
I
way
mean,
the release is really good.
Yeah,
you know what
come
I mean.
On, boo. You can't be giving yourself a UTI. Over just the,
right,
the release.
Right, but
you know?
Like...
I can think of better things.
Yeah,
you know?
But there's things like that where I really try to not suffer, but the more... Because I learned a lot about the dopamine reward system, and the more that you, like, quote, suffer... It, and by suffering, I mean, like, doing things that we would consider, like, working out
right.
or doing work or chores or something like that, the bigger dopamine hit you get on the other side. So instead of just, like, if you were just sitting there eating Cheetos...
Yeah, restraint.
Right.
The more you show restraint and discipline,
yeah.
the more rewarding it is.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you know, there's a chemical reaction behind it.
Yeah. So if you were just sitting there indulging in pleasurable things, like... social media and Cheetos and
wait,
whatever.
I don't think social media is pleasurable.
Well,
but
for
Cheetos,
some people,
oh, yeah.
you know, just looking through,
you
getting
know,
hits,
yeah.
whatever your poison is, playing video games, the less dopamine hits you're going to get because your brain is oversaturated
oh,
with
I
it.
Know.
So I have to deplete it, which is punish myself. And then you get that big
but
hit.
Don't look at it as punishment. Look at it as discipline.
I look at it as like I'm waiting
strength.
For that big hit at the end. Like today
right.
I went to the gym. Did I want to go? No. Was I there and I wanted to be there? No. I was because usually sometimes I'll get into it. I'll see someone
right.
hot and I'm like, fuck, let's go, baby.
Right.
But I wasn't feeling it at all today. But
well,
I was
this
like.
This weather doesn't help.
No, but I just kept telling myself, I'm like, the more you suffer now, the more it's going to feel good when you get that 3-2-1 in the last seconds
thing.
On the Stairmaster. You're going to feel fucking bomb. And I did. I felt great.
Afterward.
So, yeah.
So I have a trainer who comes at like 5:30 in the morning.
That's insane.
She's awesome. I want to bring her on here. She's changed
yeah,
my
bring
life.
Her on.
But I feel every day
isn't
and I
super
play
pregnant?
This game. Not, no, four.
Okay,
four
okay,
months.
Okay.
But you could barely, I mean.
Okay.
And every day I'm like, oh, okay. Before I go to bed, I'm like, okay, I got to get to bed. So I get this much sleep. Okay. I can't stress over it. Oh my God, the alarm goes off. It's cold. It's rainy.
Yeah.
And I know that she's coming over to kick my ass and that, you know, in our gym, I'm thinking, oh, every day I have to kind of do that little mental, you know, gymnastics, as you would say, or mm-hmm. that little mental check, like, okay, it's cold. you want to stay in bed, or, you know, it's hot, you don't want to go work out with no AC. But then the end result is like afterwards. And even so, when it's been cold, I've so wanted to cancel.
Sure.
Be like, and I'm her first appointment.
Of course.
And she lives,
so,
you know, like 15 minutes from me close. Yeah. So I always want to be like, hey, have you left yet? You know, I'm going to, but I'm nope. And except when I was sick, I had COVID.
Yeah, of course.
But damn, every day I play that game with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I love it, but when I usually get into it after about 15 minutes, and then by the end, I'm like, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
You can't put a price on that.
No. And I feel like when someone else is like counting on you, or not necessarily counting on you, but you have to be made accountable, because she's going to like probably roast you if you're like, she's like, Tara, what the fuck?
And I can't do that to her. And that was my thing with working out. I love the way it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. I fell off track.
Yeah.
And accountability without being shamed. Right.
Yeah.
And so getting her, and she understood, we have the same like outlook on fitness.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, hey man, a lot of times I don't want to work out, and that's her life. So she's just real.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciate that. And I don't want to let her down.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm paying, you know, for it.
Sure.
And she's coming to me. So it's a premium, as it should be.
Right.
She's the bomb. So there's so many factors that, you know, I had to, okay, eliminate the excuse of the drive and traffic. We put a home gym in. Okay. Well, God, getting out there, I know it's there. I know I should be doing it. It's two steps, you know, making an excuse. Oh, got caught up in work.
Yeah.
Oh, work, work, work.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, this is self-care.
Yeah.
This is mental and physical.
Right.
It's not just about losing weight, right?
Yeah.
It's also a mental, like you need that.
Right. And like you said, we're talking about discipline. It's not about motivation at all.
No.
Because a lot of times I don't feel like fucking doing shit, but I'm like, this is who you are and what you do.
And you're doing it for you. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, wait, I do everything for everyone else. I take care of, like, feel like I'm everyone's mom at work.
Yeah,
I'm everyone's mom in life. I'm why am I not doing this for myself?
Right.
Like, I owe it. So once I started thinking like that is when I'm like, wait a minute, damn it. I owe it to myself. I want to be healthy. You know, I still want to lose 25 more pounds, really. But the fact that I'm just actually giving back to myself instead of just sitting on the computer answering emails from work.
Right.
So, you know, and I love the fact that she's, like you said, you know, she doesn't wake up and is like, oh, I want to go work out. And she's a fitness instructor and she has her master's in nutrition, and, you know, she's certified in every way. And she's real by saying, hey man, a lot of times I don't want to do
this
either.
No, no one does. No one does. But what helps me, and maybe this helps you, is like, if you change, you know, it's all about outlook and perspective. A lot of times I'll tell myself, you know, the thought is I have to work out today. But then I go, no, you get to work out because a lot of people don't have legs.
Self-care, right.
And they can't do shit, and they have cancer, and they think about Brandon,
the quad.
Right.
He wishes he could go on the elliptical.
Sure, of course.
Like, how dare I make an excuse okay, wait a minute, and I get to have a home gym?
Yeah.
Like, so you're so right.
Mm-hmm. You get to work out. And then when you say that, you go, okay, well.
Like, wow.
Then you start shaming yourself for being, you know, able-bodied.
Yeah. And then it's so funny. I was just talking to one of my friends last night, who her husband is like 38. And actually he is big at Hoyt, where you go to MMA.
Oh, he's
they moved to DC, but he's heavily involved, and you may know him. I'll say his name offline because I don't know if they, and he was just diagnosed with stage 3 pancreatic cancer.
That's the one you don't want to get.
And they have 2 kids, and he is an MMA, like he's an amazing shape.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a big drinker or smoke, nothing.
No, it's just bad luck.
And I mean, I was blown away. And this guy he works out every day.
Uh-huh.
Like he has the best outlook. You know, it's all about gratitude.
Uh-huh.
And you think about like those things happening, and then you can't even wrap your brain around something like that. And just, you know, having that whole mentality of, I don't even know where I was going with this.
What does the prognosis look like?
Okay.
Can I ask that?
So here's the cool part. Normally it's a death sentence. she is such a badass, and she's a physical therapist, that she did so much research, and they live in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
that she found a place in, I think, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
that does experimental, like, clinical trial,
mm-hmm.
specifically for pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an immunotherapy company, a biotech company, and this is like a research-type drug. So there was no guarantee.
It's a right to try thing.
There was no guarantee.
Yeah.
But it's targeted. You know, chemo is one size fits all.
Right.
You IV, and it kills everything.
It kills the cancer slightly faster than the patient.
So that's why
people get so sick.
And it's a one size fits all.
Yep.
You know, this was targeted specific. So she got a hold of these people. I mean, for her to be such a renegade and not take no, because they go to the oncologist and they're like, well, it's too big to remove.
Luckily, it was a tumor?
It's a tumor.
Okay.
It has not spread, thank God.
Okay.
But it's inoperable because it's too large, and the way it's wrapped around, we can't remove it. So the only thing we can do is
shrink
chemo.
It.
And she said, hell no, I'm not taking that. That's not it. So she fast forward, she finds this company who they specialize in targeted treatment. And I don't know if they've really had a lot of, they're so new.
Yeah.
So she talked the local oncologist into doing the clinical trial there, because otherwise they can't go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Initially, he started off doing traditional chemo. One size fits all. He was getting so sick.
Yeah.
And the tumor was growing. He finally got approved for the clinical trial. The tumor is a third of the size as it was.
Beautiful.
It was growing on chemo. And so she just said to me last night, if this works, I am going to be like, almost feels guilty. That's where I was going, because she thinks of the people that don't know about this place.
Yeah.
And the people that are just dying with pancreatic cancer. And this could be a game changer. And I said, you're looking at it the wrong way. You are going to be a pioneer and a trailblazer, and you're going to save a lot of lives because you discovered it. And if it truly works, you're making it your mission to let everyone know.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it wrong. Don't have guilt over this working for your husband.
Yeah.
Have gratitude that you can be, you know, the mouthpiece. And I mean, shit, I'll put her on Bubba. You know, I'll ask Bubba if she can come on and talk about it. She's like, you're right. I'm like, so you're a messenger. Don't feel guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at it as an opportunity.
So he's getting a lot better. He's feeling better.
It is. So check this out. It grew on, like, doubled in size when he was doing chemo.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped the chemo and then started taking this drug like a week later. And I think 6 weeks, it's a third of the size. And if it shrinks more, they can take
remove it
out. And it hasn't metastasized. So when I say that this is a miracle unheard of, it's going to be so groundbreaking. Like, it's, my mind is blown. So she's having that guilt. And I know you said sometimes you have guilt feeling like people that don't have houses. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do that a lot, especially as I've been grateful with my business and mm-hmm. having a lot of success. That's one thing I struggle with.
With guilt.
Is feeling bad for being successful. A lot.
That's
why I try to give a lot.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel good anyway.
Yeah.
Even before I was able to really. But that is, I'm reading a lot of books and doing a lot of self-development on that.
The thing is like, and not that I'm not saying I'm confused. You shouldn't feel a certain way. Obviously,
right.
Everybody just feels the way that they feel for different reasons. But it's not like your success was like given to you. Like you worked your ass for it.
Not at all. Right.
Ass off for it. So, I mean, I think that, you know, I feel like you would think that this would be like rightfully due. You know, it's about
just,
time. I've been
right.
working my ass off for a decade or.
And I think, I mean,
and you've been
20 years
educating yourself. And like you said, you're always reading books, trying to learn
to be
new
better, but
things.
It's just still weird.
Be a good leader.
I think especially in this world when, you know, you see I'm not even going to compare it to the pandemic, but you know, it's everything's getting more expensive. You know, real estate's through the roof. People can't afford houses. You know, you think about, and then I think about my friend whose husband has pancreatic cancer. And I'm like, oh my God, my family, I have my family, I have my health, mm-hmm. I'm prospering. I hate to see people not prospering. And then
struggling.
I start playing that, you know, game with myself, like, oh, it's
yeah,
just,
but
it's,
you being successful didn't cause them to lose their stuff. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. I appreciate you saying it. I'm going through
and
that.
And if you
now.
Lost everything, it wouldn't bring them riches.
Right.
You know?
So right. That's like, a good way of looking at it.
You're not helping them if
See,
you lost
look, you're,
everything.
You're doing an you online know? Or a lot online podcast therapy.
There you go. Yeah. And you're giving back a lot. I know you do. You give a lot to me and Tyler and Bubba, your mom, everyone
to.
Here at Blitz.
I really do. Yeah. And I do stuff for like this children's charity for kids that it's called the Children's Homes for kids that like have been sexually trafficked and their
you've
parents
told me a
sell
few
them.
Stories and
it, right so getting really involved in that it fills my heart, it fills my cup, but I still, you know, I think just like you mentioned, we all kind of struggle with God, there's a guy without the ability to walk who would die to go work out
right
and I'm bitching about the weather.
Right.
Like it's all about perspective.
Yeah. But then you stop doing it at least for like a couple hours. That's how I am. You know, I'm like, oh, wow. You kind of have like this reflective moment.
And you do something nice for somebody and then it makes you feel good.
And then it fades. And you know what? It's kind of okay that it fades because you don't need to be in a reflective, like emotional state all the time. You just, so it's good
and
to have those
robot.
Moments often,
right.
But it's also good to just kind of be normal. And yeah, you bitch, you complain and then you go, oh, yeah, at least I can walk. That's amazing. And then and then you kind of forget. And that's okay. And that's like the, as Bub says, the ebbs and the ebbins flows. Or what did
you
say? Ebbin flows.
His Bubba-isms just make my skin crawl. I'm not going to lie. I love the
dude.
Then
you start saying words dumb.
And then Ron DeSantos.
DeSantos, right.
What's the other one?
Elon Musk.
Oh, yes. Oh, that one. That probably gets me. DeSantos and Elon Musk probably.
Yeah.
For some reason.
This is a Celsius.
Oh,
and I now read it that
way.
Yeah, well, it's a Celsius because I think
you're
that was a
start.
That was a Lummy thing, actually. But amateur works, which I say all the time, and people
Bless
are like, you know, it's amateur,
heart.
And I'm like, oh Christ, here you're right.
Yeah.
The
Bubba isms are now your
IV Vectrin
vernacular. Yeah.
Yeah, IV Vectrin's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one. I've heard that's really good for some people.
The Omnicorn variant. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have not heard the Omnicorn. That's a new one.
Omnicorn is pretty strong. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's a new one for me.
Yeah, I think we should probably wrap this up. We're like, oh, we'll do 30 minutes, and I think we ended up doing probably close to 50. I think
really.
But this is how we catch up.
Catch up. It really is
with the listeners. It's good.
I know. See, so, we're all one big family.
We are. All right, Tara. Thank you so much,
you
and we'll do another one soon.
Can't wait.
Bye.